In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have a message from Ezekiel 16. I will paraphrase it. It begins by saying, your mother was a Hittite and your father was an Amorite. You were born on the wrong side of the tracks, Israel. And I saw you weltering in your blood. And I decided out of love to take you and to swathe you and to wash you off because I decided to make you mine. Oh, yes, and I bedecked you with beautiful clothes, not because of anything you did, because I found you in your blood. And I cleansed you, and I washed you, and I gave you clothes and put a ring in your nose, and, oh, you became the beauty of the people of your area. And then you decided to play the harlot. You decided to worship on the other hills, burning incense to the false gods, going to the temple prostitutes. You even paid the prostitutes rather than them paying you. Oh, yes, you started off good, but then you ended off very bad. And this is what the Lord says. And I will judge thee as a woman that broke wedlock because I wed you. And I will also give you into the hands that they may throw down your eminent place and break down your high places. I will strip you. They shall also bring up a company against thee, and they shall stone thee with stones. They shall burn your houses with fire, execute judgments upon you in the sight of many women. I will make my fury toward you to rest, and my jealousy shall depart from you, because you have not remembered the days of your youth. Oh, yes. What's the Lord say? Lord says to us who do not live by faith, do not remember what he has done for us, to us who are living by business, to us who are living by the standards of the world, I'm going to strip you. I'm going to strip you bare. I'm going to strip you until there's not anything left, and you are going to be absolutely naked to me. I'm going to strip you. I'm going to strip you, and I'm going to strip you. God's saying that to every institution that calls themselves church, to every Christian that calls himself Christian. I'm going to strip you. I'm going to strip you bare. I'm going to let you know who you are because you have diverted from me. You have gone away from me. I chose you, and I held you up as my own. You became my bride. And you began to live the standards of the world. You began to live, as Ignatius says, under the umbrella of the evil one, who is filled with pride and arrogance and avarice and lust. And I'm going to fix you, the Lord says, because you know what? I do not break my covenant. The other side of my love shall come upon you until you repent. The other side of my love shall come upon you. My wrath, I will strip you of everything until you come to realize that all you are and all you have has come from me. Until you find yourself with nothing, ready to repent because you have left me, the wellspring of living waters, and you have gone into cisterns that leak. You have left the wellspring of living water, and you started to live like the world. And so the Lord says, strip away, strip away, strip away. I will lead you into the desert, and I will take away all beauty from you. You who were eminent in the world, you will have no power, because the power you have comes from me, and you have deserted me. You have lived the life of the world. You judge things by what you have in your wallet, rather than living for me by faith. And I will strip you. And my stripping is not that you would be killed, but that you would come to realize it is time to repent. My stripping is not to destroy you, but that you would realize it's time to repent. My stripping is not to sever you from me, but it is time to repent. What will it take for us to repent? Like, what will it take? What will it take for the churches to repent? What will it take for the Christians to repent? What will it take for me to repent? How far does he have to strip us? And we still do not see the signs of being stripped. You know why? For we have no revelation in our lives. We live like the world. We live just like the world. We don't think that God is trying to teach us something. But you know what? He will not abandon his church. He will strip her naked until we repent of our sins, that we have become like the world. You know what the Holy Father says, Benedict XVI? He says, we have sacramentalized people, but not evangelized people. I disagree with him. We don't even have sacramentalized people. If he only knew that people come to church and receive the Eucharist with gum in their mouth. If he only knew that people come and they put their hands up and they take the Eucharist back, I go chasing them. We don't even have sacramentalized people anymore. We don't have sacramentalized people. If the Pope only knew what happens in local churches, if he only knew that people don't even believe this is the Blessed Sacrament, this is Jesus. Well, we never believed that it was the Word of God because we don't take it. So we can't say we believed that it was the Word of God because we don't read it. So we've never believed that anyway. Now we don't even believe it's the Eucharist. You tell me what you do and I'll tell you what you believe, okay? Tell me what I do, and I'll tell you what I believe. If I tell you prayer is something that's important in my life, and I don't pray, I lie to your teeth. You know what I'm saying? I could say lots of things. Doesn't mean anything unless I'm doing it. The Word of God, the Bible is the Word of God. We don't believe that. We don't believe that at all. We're ignorant of the Word of God. Ignorant of God's Word. And if you're ignorant of God's Word, you're ignorant of faith, because faith comes from the Word of God. That's where it comes from. That's not my plan. That's God's plan. But that's the way it is. That's the way it is. And then we're ignorant of preaching. Preaching? Listen, I love to hear a good preacher. I love to listen to someone preach with zeal. I've been to many churches, you know. There aren't many people who preach with zeal. I'd give a D minus, even an F. Sometimes Jesus isn't even mentioned. It's all this philosophical gogglygook. It's very interesting. Yeah, interesting, all right. Interesting, all right. Get you nowhere. Get you nowhere. And yet the preaching mission of the church is the most important mission of the church. According to Vatican II, according to the documents, according to Dave Erbom, that beautiful document on the Word of God, the preaching mission of the church is the most important. But there's who preaches? Like, who preaches? How many people preach? Like, how many of our preachers could you call a preacher? That's a very interesting question. How many of our preachers could you call a preacher? And I'm going to tell you, it doesn't take much to preach if you've got an active faith life. It doesn't take much to preach if you've got an active faith life, because you can start telling the people what God is doing, how he's demonstrating his power, what he's doing, how he's changing lives, if you have an active faith life. If not, you're not going to be talking about anything. You're going to be telling stories. You don't have to be some orator. You have to have an active faith life to preach. If you don't have an active faith life, you don't preach. There's nothing to preach. There's nothing to preach without an active faith life. If you don't put your life on the line for Jesus, there's nothing to preach, because the only thing you see is what you see with the naked eye, and not what you see in the spirit, and what you see by revelation, and what you see God doing in your life and in other people's lives. Active faith life. How many people have active faith lives? How many people really have active faith lives? People we've ordained, Catholic, Protestant, and Orthodox, active faith life. God's stripping everything. He's stripping and stripping and stripping and stripping and stripping. And it's not the devil either, it's God. God is stripping us to our knees, and we don't even it, because we cannot even read the signs of the time. Jesus said that. Jesus said that. He said, you know how to read the signs of the times when it comes to weather, but when it comes to the things of the spirit, you don't know how to read the signs of the time. It's true. True today. Why do you think God is stripping? Because he hates us? No. Because he wants to bring us to repentance. Because he wants to bring us to first love. Because he wants to bring us into his heart. And we think it's society. We think it's society. It's not society. God is stripping the churches bare. As he says in the 16th chapter, I will make fury, my fury toward thee, rest, because thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth. You've departed from faith. You've departed from me. When you depart from me, as individuals, as a church, you will suffer. You have departed from the source of living water. And that's something. Isn't that something? But you know what? Who believes that stuff? I do. I do. Let me just tell you. With the Catholic Church and the priests and hurting young children, that was the first sign of God stripping us. But we never learned. We never learned. Rather than calling the whole church to repent because we have departed from faith and we have sinned. Not only the priests, please, please. But we've all lived like the world. That was the first stripping. Then comes the selling of the buildings. And the selling of the churches. And the selling of the hospitals. That's another stripping. Then comes the empty churches. And people can't pay their bills. And that's another stripping. Then comes the scarcity of priests. And that's another stripping. And nobody learns the lesson. It's time to repent. We have sinned as a church. We have not walked by faith. We have walked by sight. We are a business. As John Paul said to the bishops, you are not CEOs. You are shepherds. He knew. So, you know, all these strippings take place and nobody gives the meaning. Oh, you think God's over? You think he's over with the stripping? Not at all. There's more coming down the line. You want to know why? We've not repented. As a church, as a people who follow the world rather than Jesus Christ, who know the things of the world rather than the things of the Holy Ghost. You think God's finished? Oh, no. He's barely started. And it's to bring his church to repentance. Where is John the Baptist today? I think we'd kill him. People call me the voice in the wilderness. But if John the Baptist were here, my God, he would say some terrible things. You brood of vipers, he would say. You snakes, produce the fruit of repentance. And so, you know what? Because we do not learn, we're going to be like the Israelites. What should have taken them 9 months to go from Egypt into the Promised Land took them 40 years. Because they hardened their hearts. And so they took another trip around, going around in circles. As the Old Testament church didn't learn, neither does the New Testament church. Going around in circles, trying a new program, trying something new. The program we need to try is to call our people to confess their sins, because we are more like the world than like the people of God. To call our people to live by faith and not by sight. To call our people to live like Abraham, that would even offer Isaac on the altar, his only begotten son. And so we don't learn. And so, you know what? More stripping is going to come. Believe me. Not because God hates us, but because he will not let us go. And who will be the prophet to tell people? He's trying to teach us something through all this pain. Who will say it? They don't even know it. They think it's the world. It's not the world that's stripping us. It's Jesus Christ himself. He's looking for a pure bride, not an old wench dressed in ugly clothes, looking more like the world. Well, oh God, have mercy on us, that's all I can say. And mercy on me too, because I preach it. Have mercy. In your justice, remember mercy, Lord. In your stripping, remember mercy. Let it come to our hearts that we've got to live by faith again. We don't remember, Lord, when we started. We had nothing but you, and it all worked. In America, we had nothing but you, and it all worked. Now we have everything but you, and it's all falling apart. And who is the voice to tell the people that God loves us enough to strip us bare so that we would repent of our ways? Who is the voice that will say that? I say it. But you know what? It just goes on deaf ears. But I'll keep on saying it. Not because he hates us, but because he loves us. Oh, Jesus, you're the only one that can do anything. You are the Lord. You are the Lord. And as you stripped Israel, you will strip us. You say, I will do my pleasure. The Lord says, I will do all my pleasure. And it is my pleasure that not one be lost, but that the Lord would save people. For Jesus came to seek and save those that were lost. Is that the job of the churches now? To go after the lost, to go after those that are wayward, to go after the poor and the lowly? Is that the job of the church, to do the pleasure of God? Is that the job of all the churches, to seek those who are so needy and poor and to proclaim the gospel unto them and to give them the hope of the gospel, the power of the Spirit? Is that our job, or are we looking for the cream of the crop? The Lord says, I will do all my pleasure. I will do all my pleasure. Who hears God anymore? Like, who hears God? Who hears God? I've heard him. He says, I'm stripping everybody. He told me, I'm stripping. Not to destroy, but that repentance might take place. I'm stripping. I'm going to strip everybody bare that doesn't walk by faith. I'm going to strip churches bare, people bare. I'm going to strip and strip and strip and strip and strip and strip. And after that, I'll strip some more. Until my people come back to me. Until my people come back to me. Until I have a people that are surrendered unto me. I'm going to strip that they might repent. That's what I'm going to do. Oh yeah, God told me that. You might say, how? Through the Bible. Through the Bible. Through the Bible. God told me that. And I pray, God, that we would repent sooner that rather than later. I pray, God, that we would start living by faith and not by sight. I pray, God, that we would have a preference for the broken and the poor and the needy like you had, and not the cream of the crop. And I pray, God, we would start to look a little more like Jesus Christ rather than with the image of the world. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Through the blood that you shed for us, have mercy on us. Let it pierce our hearts, Lord. Let it pierce our hearts. Thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time, proclaiming the Word of God, doing my best, at least, to proclaim the Word of God. And sometimes you know we have a hard time with this blue box today. It didn't give us any trouble, thanks be to God. And I need to hear from you, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. It's the last day of January. Hallelujah. Last day of January. We are going to the espousal retreat house on Wednesday, unless we have a storm. And if there's a storm, it will be canceled. But if the storm doesn't come, we will be at the espousal retreat house at 7:30. But if there is a storm, stay home. I don't drive in storms. It's crazy. Nobody wants to get hurt. When it's stormy, you stay home. Anyway, I need to hear from you. Maybe you haven't sent me anything in a long time. Today's the last day of January, 2011. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And I have a little note from Jimmy, the roofer. The snow is getting heavy, and with more snow on the way, you need to call Jimmy, the roofer, to remove the snow off your roof before your roof comes down into your house. Then you'll really need a roofer. His telephone number is 617-519-0341, 617-519-0341. Yeah, the snow's getting heavy on your roof, and we've heard about different roofs that have fallen in. He will remove it. He has 24 years experience. He has fair prices. 617-519-0341. 617-519-0341. And I have a friend that is a housekeeper, and she's looking for jobs. She's been looking for any kind of jobs, but she'd even do housekeeping. You need housekeeping. She's pretty good at it. She's pretty good at it. She's very orderly. So if you'd like to have her, you call 617-519-0341 and tell Jimmy that you give her that number. He'll give me your number, and I'll have her call you. 617-519-0341, even for the housekeeper. You need things organized? Are you a pack rat? She'll help you. 617-519-0341. Again, we'll be on tomorrow. Praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Today, they'll be praising God at 1 o'clock. Glory to God at the Holy Rosary. And tonight, 7:30 Mass. Hallelujah. 7:30 Mass followed by Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. Hallelujah. I always invite, even if you don't come, I will continue to invite. And when they close Holy Rosary, I have done my share. I have invited and invited and invited. And with little response, but I keep on inviting. Hopefully you'll come. 617-519-0341 for Jimmy. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.